from sunny St. Leonard's on the south coast of the UK. This is the Keto Woman Podcast, brought to you by me, Daisy Brackenhall. Hello, keto lovelies, and welcome to episode number 210, where I am joined by nobody. It's just me today. I've struggled a little bit recently to line up some guests for one reason or another. I often have people messaging me asking to come on, but somewhere along the line, it just doesn't happen. I find usually when people get in touch with me, unless we record within a couple of weeks, they just end up in the ever-increasing pile that never actually makes it to the recording stage. So I've got quite a few of those that have not come to anything. And I need to get a lot more proactive about finding some new guests. It's been a little bit difficult from a noise perspective, having had somebody working here till quite late in the evenings. But he's finished now for the time being, so I have a reasonably quiet environment. So it ended up getting precariously close to Friday, and we're now actually past Friday. I'm recording this on Saturday, and I didn't have a guest for you. And rather than running a repeat, which I don't really like doing and have already done an awful lot of earlier this year, I thought, well, why don't I record a solo episode? Other people do it, so maybe it might be something that you're interested in. I'm always a little bit hesitant about doing things like that, wondering whether anything I can say will be of that much interest. But who knows? If it's not, you can always skip forward and leave this one out and go on to next week. But for now, I thought I would fill that hole with just me. And maybe if it goes down well, I'll do some more. I'll call them something like Daisy Rambles, because I do have a tendency to ramble. So before we get started, what's been going on here this week? Well, it's not been the best of weeks from a migraine point of view. Migraines, headaches, I still don't know which they are. I guess I err towards the headache end of the spectrum because I can still function. And I know most people who get migraines get them really badly and can't function. So I'm sure mine are just headaches because I can normally carry on doing things that I need to do. It just makes it all a bit miserable. But for the best part of the week, I've been waking up with a headache every day, and they refuse to budge until I've done at least a couple of rounds of tablets, which is another thing I don't particularly like doing. I'm kind of at a bit of a loss trying to figure out what the reason is, and I'm not sure there is any one reason, so I'm just going to kind of let that go for now and just deal with them when they turn up. It might possibly be something to do with taking HRT because they have that kind of cyclical feel to them. And I tend to get a bit of a run of them for anything from 2 or 3 days to a week or even more. And that kind of reminds me of what used to happen pre-menopause. So who knows? Maybe it's got something to do with that. Maybe not. Like I say, I'm just going to roll with it and deal with them as they turn up. I've had a few lovely early morning swims, but the weather has been getting progressively windy and the waves progressively choppier during the week. So the last few days, I haven't really wanted to venture into the sea. I'm considering going down this afternoon. The sun is trying desperately to come out and we're about low tide now. So even if the waves are a bit choppy, it usually means at the very least you can go and have a bit of a paddle without getting knocked over. But to end on a really high note, a very good friend of mine came down to see me for a couple of days during the week, which was a lovely surprise. I messaged her to find out how she was getting on. She's been saying she'll come down to see me, so I thought I'd catch up and see how she's doing. And she said, why don't I come down this week? Fantastic. It was brilliant. And she happened to pick a couple of days where we had wonderful sunshine. So we had a good old walkabout into town. And it was the perfect excuse for me to go and visit a coffee shop that I've been meaning to go to for a long time called, I think it's called Stooge Coffee or Stooge's Coffee. It's in the Trinity area in Hastings, which also happens to have wonderful building. There's a church there, which I assume is Trinity Church, and Hastings Library, which is the most fantastic building. I forgot to take a picture of it, so I'm going to have to use that as an excuse to go back down there again very soon so that I can get a picture for you. But my reason for going to the coffee shop was that they have two very adorable Petenko puppies, one rough and one smooth. Just the smooth one was there the other day, but she was absolutely gorgeous. Apparently they're about 9 months old and the most beautiful chocolate colour. She was adorable, very, very shy, which did not surprise me for a Petenko. Although apparently once she gets to know you, she warms up considerably, and she demonstrated this when some people came in who she knew and she was all over them, very excited to see them. So that was really good fun. And they had very delicious tea to boot, so that was a very good outing all round. And we wandered right down to the old town end. So it was really nice to have a good walkabout, something that I keep meaning to do and just not really bothering to go right down to that end of town. So I must do that more often. I actually have another old friend coming to see me in a couple of weeks, so I'm sure I'll get to have a wander around with her too. And that's about it for me, really. The floor guy finished doing the floors that he can do anyway. We've still got to do the hall, but I've got to wait for my stuff to come out of storage before we can do that, because I'm going to be using the oak planks that I've brought over from France. But the two rooms downstairs anyway are done now. Well, the floors are done. Now there is an awful lot of work for me to do. I think I might have mentioned before that there's considerably more work that needs doing before I can paint. I thought it was going to be a quick prep and paint job, but there's an awful lot more to do than that, unfortunately. Never mind sanding and treating the floors. So I have a lot of DIY work to do. I do need to get on with it because there's no heating down there really. There's a radiator still in the bathroom, but the other radiators can't go back in until the rooms are done. So that's another good reason why I need to get them done, apart from the fact that they need to be done so that I can move downstairs and get my things out of storage. And the new windows can't go in until that happens. So it's one of these cases of all these things that need to happen before the next stages can take place. And no more excuses now. It's all on me to make that happen. So I need to get on with it. So that's me and my news. It's Halloween weekend, of course. So I'm sure a lot of you are building up to having some spooky fun. And it really counts as the start of the holiday season for a lot of you. And that is what I was going to talk about. So without further ado, I'm going to end the rambly intro bit and go on to the rambly main bit. I'll see you on the other side. So Halloween is not really something that's ever been that meaningful for me from a food perspective. When I was young, it wasn't something that kids tended to do in the UK and has only become popular more recently. I'm trying to remember if my brother and sister used to go trick-or-treating. They might have done, I don't really remember. I'm not sure that they did though. My brother in Thailand certainly did, but they tend to be much more influenced by the US there. My niece and nephews have certainly got into the Halloween spirit though, and I believe it is pretty popular now in the UK, although I don't think as to quite the same level as in the US. Halloween for me has always been about my brother, my UK brother that is, because it's his birthday. So that's always been the main association for me. In France, the next day is the most important, Toussaint. And that's the day that the country tends to focus on and when everywhere starts selling chrysanthemums that get put on the graves all over the country. And I always used to think this was a terrible waste because you'd see these lovely great big pots of chrysanthemums just fading away in the graveyards. And it's also why you never buy chrysanthemums as a gift for somebody because they have that association. They're very into associations with certain things in France. That's why you could never find kale anywhere, because as far as they're concerned, it was cattle feed, not human feed. So you'd never see it in the supermarkets. So Halloween certainly has taken off here a lot more now in the UK. But really, our holiday season doesn't kick off for a while yet. December really is the month when everything is really full on festive. All the decorations and lights tend to go up everywhere, not only in people's homes, but of course, all the big lights in the towns and cities, quite often together with a big turning on of the lights ceremony with some kind of local celebrity. And I'm sure this year we'll see a few more of the things like Christmas office parties and get-togethers. But with Halloween and US Thanksgiving pretty close on its heels, a lot of you are heading into the holiday season already, and what tends to go hand in hand with problematic food choices. And a couple of my friends have been talking about this already. You'll all know my friend Terry Lance. Well, on her Coach Terry Facebook page, she's shared a couple of short videos this week talking about some strategies and things that might help you get through the holiday season. And I'll share a link for those so that you can go and have a look at them too. But in one of the videos, she talks about Halloween being the start of the holiday season and asking what it means to you. And thinking about what impact things like eating Halloween candy might have on you and the huge backslide that so often happens. And so to maybe start thinking about resetting the associations that you have in your mind about Halloween, and resetting them maybe for something that's going to be a bit healthier for you and make it more of an easygoing, happy time of year and start to the holiday season, more than being a bit more problematic. Another friend, Kim Howerton, talked about guilt on the latest episode of her podcast, Keto Life Support. And she talks about guilt as being this huge stumbling block, that you shouldn't feel guilty about what you eat, because it can only be harmful. It's not about who you are as a person, and it's not attached to your morality. It's made me think of James Clear, who talks about attaching habits to your identity. So making habit change be part of who you are so that it just comes naturally. But this can kind of work in a negative way too. If you're attaching quote unquote bad habits to who you are as a person, it gets very sticky and problematic. We really need to detach any sense of shame from food choices. And Kim talks about when you can do that, you really will feel a sense of freedom. We don't need shame and guilt to push us into willpower, because really it tends to do the opposite. If someone criticizes you on your appearance or what you're eating, what is your first impulse? Mine tends to be to eat or to want to eat, and certainly not in a healthy way. At least it used to. I don't get quite so impacted by that anymore. I can remember how I would literally start seeing images of food that I associated with comfort flashing through my mind, and they would be really difficult to ignore. So any time that someone said something that would make me feel guilty, it was the worst possible thing. I think sometimes people think they can guilt trip you into stopping doing something that they at least see as being harmful for you, but to be honest, it tends to have the opposite effect. So they might not realize quite what a negative impact their words are having. So what are you thinking right about now? You might be like me, and the whole holiday season and different decisions that you got to make about food are quite a way off yet, but it might be that tomorrow is the start of your problems when it comes to making those decisions about food, at least historically. So where are you at with that? What's your association between the events coming up and food and emotions? Maybe take a little time to have a think about it. Have a think about it now before it happens, and see if you can figure out if there are some ways you might be able to mitigate some of the problematic moments that are going to be on your doorstep any minute. Maybe you've tried some strategies before to help. How did they go? Did they help? Did they fall a bit flat? Maybe you can tweak them. There are probably going to be some clues there that might help you with what to try this year. I've found that planning really can help. Now, in the past, I've more often than not been the kind of person that says, oh, I'll be okay. You know, I'm feeling pretty strong about making decisions when it comes to food at the moment. It will be fine. If there's nothing there I can eat, I'll just fast. But invariably, when I'm there in the moment making that decision, there are all sorts of factors that make that nigh on impossible for me to do. And I end up eating the carby things for one reason or another, which of course has consequences. So taking some time to put some contingency plans in place, if you can, is really helpful. An example of this is when I went camping fairly recently, and I knew the chances were good that the food my family would be preparing was going to be quite high carb. And it was. They all tend towards a plant-based diet, and although it was pretty healthy, whole food stuff, it was very carby and not really something that I wanted to have, because too many carby things for me, even if they are whole food carby type foods that small doses of here and there don't impact me too much. A whole weekend of is quite likely to have quite a serious knock-on effect for me that will end up in very much not healthy whole food options and all the really sugary, refined rubbish that I know I'll end up eating. So I spent some time thinking about what to take. I ended up taking some leftover wings, and I spent some time cooking up some breakfast foods that I could take with me, some bacon, sausages, hard-boiled eggs. And then I also took some treat foods. There's a great low-carb cake company over here called Deliciously Guilt-Free Keto that make really delicious keto cakes. And so I took some of those with me. And it was a good thing I did too, because they were making some delicious s'mores type things over the campfire. And I'd have found it really hard to resist having one of those. But as it was, I had some sweet treats of my own with me, so I could tuck into those. And the benefit of that was twofold. Not only did I avoid having something that would have been detrimental to my health, but I still got to join in with everyone else having a sweet treat by having something of my own. So I didn't feel left out. And nobody else in the group felt bad that I wasn't joining in either. So it really was a win-win situation. So maybe you can do something along those lines. Depending on what the event is you're going to, who's doing the cooking, all sorts of things. I know it gets complicated. Maybe there's a conversation you need to have with somebody because they get offended when you don't eat the dish that they've been preparing for you for years and years and years. And when you suddenly say you don't want to eat it anymore, they take that as a real personal affront. So maybe part of the planning is to go and have a conversation with them about it first and say, look, you know, I love this thing that you've been cooking for me for years, and I really don't want you to be upset and offended when I don't have any of it. But it really does negatively impact my health. And you can go into talking about the reasons for that and what happens if you want to. Yeah, it really depends, doesn't it? Who it is that you're having this conversation with. And maybe the decision you have to make is that you have just a small bite. I don't know. This is where it gets really complicated, isn't it? But I think most people who love you will understand. So there's that side of it. And then there's the side of it that is something you want to eat and you're missing out on. So if you can take an alternative that you'll be happy with, that solves that problem. But please don't rely on willpower. Don't think that you're going to be able to resist whatever it is in the moment, because the chances are really good that you're not going to be able to. So either plan ahead for that and take something that you will be happy with, or think about how to deal with making the choice to eat whatever it is. So let's just talk about that for a moment. Ultimately, there are probably going to be some choices that you make when it comes to what you eat over the next few months that aren't keto. But let's be clear on this. They are choices. So own them and take responsibility for them. And that's not me nagging you or trying to make you feel bad. But don't disown that responsibility. They're not something that you have no control over. And I've said this, you know, I can't do that because when I do, I have no control over what I eat. I can't have certain things in the house because if I do, I can't control myself. I've said that, I'll continue to say it. But I do have a choice about what I bring into the house. So I know myself. I know how difficult it is for me to have certain foods around, to be around certain foods. And so at least when I'm at home in my own environment, I can control that by not bringing them in the first place. And so then I know that I'm not having to find that huge amount of willpower that I know just won't be there at certain times. And I know it's not always as easy as that because you might have to contend with other people who don't eat the same way as you do in your own home. But certainly at this time of year, when the chances are we're visiting other people, you're having to contend with all these tempting foods being around you all the time. So how do you go about not eating them? Well, you can try and not eat them. And that comes down to, as we've just talked about, maybe putting some things in place where you have some foods of your own that you can eat instead that are going to scratch that itch. Or it might be that you're feeling pretty strong and you can just resist them. Maybe look at learning to embrace the discomfort that comes with it. This is something that Terry and I have talked about here in our Mindset Matters episodes, but also over on Monday Mindset. Life is not always comfortable, and trying to avoid discomfort all the time, whilst being a really natural thing to do, is not always the best choice. You can actually learn to embrace the discomfort by knowing what it leads to and how you're going to feel on the other side. Terry and I have been talking a lot about dopamine recently, and striving towards a goal is one of the things that produces dopamine in your system and makes you feel good. So that's another reason to keep pushing forward. You'll probably know that feeling, quite often have it in the early days of a new diet, a new way of eating, when you've got all that fervor and vigor and you're feeling good. Well, that's your body trickling out dopamine, pushing you towards that goal. So it might be that you can harness that. Think about what you're striving towards and don't fixate too much on the goal, but think about the journey towards that goal and think about all the rewards that you get in the little steps that you make towards it. And always think about that goal as morphing into another one. So you know you're never going to get to it. You're going to keep pushing towards a new one. But think about all those little health goals that you tick off along the way. And learning to manage some discomfort is a really big thing that you can do. And maybe you won't manage it every time, but maybe sometimes you will. That's going to be a really good skill to have. But let's imagine now that we're in that moment and we're faced with a food choice and we make the decision to have the non-keto food. What I urge you to do is not to double down on negativity here by berating yourself. Because what's the point? You'll end up sitting there like I was when I had tears streaming down my face as I was eating pints of Haagen-Dazs that time, trying to make myself feel better, knowing I quote unquote shouldn't be eating this ice cream, that it wasn't going to work, but still carrying on eating it in the hope that it would because it was a comfort food and that had always worked, and ended up just feeling worse and worse and worse. There is no point guilt tripping yourself, because as we spoke about before, what happens when someone makes you feel guilty, and that someone can be you, you're going to feel like crap. And the chances are that's going to lead to you wanting to eat more and more of these foods. And it's a vicious circle. And before you know it, it's been days and weeks and months. And getting back on track feels like such an overwhelmingly big hurdle that you just can't face it. Because of course, what happens when you eat too many of these foods? If you're anything like me, it has a seriously negative impact on your mental health. And so it gets more and more and more difficult to drag yourself out of it. So there's no point in feeling guilty. Make the decision, own it, take responsibility for it, be mindful about what leads up to that decision. What is impacting that decision that you make? And then be mindful as you're eating whatever it is. And send a message to your brain to remember it. So as an example, I used to love Mr. Whippy ice cream as a kid. Well, let's face it, I've always loved it, kid or not. And it wasn't something I ever really saw in France. When I moved back here, I'd completely forgotten, really, about how ice cream vans would come round driving up and down the streets and playing their typical tunes to announce their arrival. I've never actually gone out and got one from those passing vans. But there was one that was parking all the time, just above where I used to swim. And one day I thought to myself, I'm going to have a Mr. Whippy ice cream. Now, as small as it was, I made the better choice in not having the crappy cone and just having it in a little plastic container. But I thought to myself, be mindful about what you're doing here. So I was mindful of the fact that I was tapping back into those childhood memories of excitement, of hearing the ice cream van, of begging my mother to give me some money to go out and buy a 99. A 99, if you don't know, is a Mr. Whippy. And I assume you know what Mr. Whippy is. It might even be an American thing, but it's a soft serve, swirly ice cream, and it has a flake, which is a flaky chocolate stick pushed in at the top, and that's a 99. And it was something that I adored. McFlurries are the same kind of thing. It's that probably pretty rubbish ice cream. I think there might have been something, an article about it at some point, that it can't even be called ice cream because it's got no cream in it. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. So I was very mindful about what was driving the urge to go and buy this ice cream. And then I sat down and I was mindful about what was going through my mind. And I was mindful about the feel of it, the taste of it, the emotions that were attached to it in the process. And do you know what I thought? I thought, that is nowhere near as delicious as I was expecting. What I was anticipating, the excitement of what I was anticipating, and this is something, again, that Terry and I have talked about, and the different things that fire off in your brain as you're pushing towards that goal, as you're striving for it, as you're anticipating a food that evokes all these memories and emotions. And it's usually in those moments that you're anticipating it, in the moments before you actually eat it, is where the excitement lies. When you actually have it, it's a bit of a letdown. So I urge you just to be mindful, be open, and be curious, but really think about it. Don't just eat it mindlessly in front of the television or as you're talking to other people and you're not really thinking about it. Be really mindful about what's going on, because the chances are that it's not going to be everything that you thought it was going to be. And that's a really good memory to keep. Because I still have that urge when I hear the ice cream van, when I see the, I don't see it anymore because it's cold and children's holidays are over, so it's not parked there anymore, but I'm sure it'll be back next summer and I'll have those same triggers will go off. But now I have that memory to go with it that I can remind myself and just have that conversation with myself. Hey, look, this happened before, remember? You were really excited about that food and all those memories of what it meant to you came flooding back to you and you were so excited in the anticipation. But what happened when you actually said, yes, I'm going to have that, and you sat down and you ate it? It was a real letdown, wasn't it? So let's just remember that excitement. Let it just be a fond memory, because the actual eating is going to be a letdown. And worse than that, there's probably going to be some negative consequences, Because for all the fact that you're sitting there being mindful that this is a bit of a letdown and it's not as delicious as you were thinking it was going to be, you've just consumed something really sugary that has started triggering things in your brain, in your body, that is going to start pushing you to have more. And that, of course, is where the problem lies. So if you make the choice to eat this food, whatever it is, do make the most of it. Enjoy it. Enjoy perhaps the communal nature of it, sharing it with friends, with family. But at least in a part of your mind, be mindful about what's actually going on when you're eating it. And just log that as something that you can come back and think about later. It might be that everything about it was just utterly fabulous, and all you want to do is have more of it and to repeat that experience over and over and over again. And although that's going to be something that might be challenging for you to manage, it's still useful to know that, right? To know that this is something I'm going to be powerless to resist. So how am I going to manage that next time? What's the best way to manage that next time? Because there will always be something to learn from these choices if you stay in the moment with curiosity rather than judgment. And if you choose to eat things that don't comply with your keto normal, I want you to enjoy them, because what's the point otherwise? You will just be left with the consequences of that choice with no good stuff. At the very least, you can come away from it having learned something. But if you see those choices stuck under a cloud of guilt and shame, that will be the thing that you take with you, which is far more likely to keep a hold of you and lead to a spiral of food choices that don't serve you well. And while I think of it, there's this whole concept of eating keto, not eating keto, cheating on your diet, going off plan, got to get back to keto. What is the way of eating that serves you best? What way of eating makes you happiest, makes you the healthiest you can be, is the tastiest, is the easiest to stick to day to day? Well, that's your normal. Keto's my normal. That doesn't mean to say that it's the way I eat all of the time. Occasionally, I'll make a choice that isn't my keto normal, but keto is very much my normal. And I've chatted with guests that talk about it in different ways. It's their home base. It's what they always come back to. So rather than thinking about it as this thing that you struggle to stick to, make it your home base, make it your normal. And if it's too difficult to do that, then you need to change it until it is, because it's not working properly for you. If you've learned anything from the years I've been doing this podcast, one of the things I've been trying to get across is how adaptable keto is. And there is a way of making it work for you. That's what it's all about. It's making it work for you. It's not about making yourself work for some idea, a notion of what you think keto is with all these fixed rules. It's actually really very flexible. And there's no guarantee, of course, that it's something that's going to work for you. But it really is a lot more flexible and a lot less restrictive than some people would have you believe. So try to think about it less as being naughty, cheating on keto. You might make some choices that are not in alignment, but sooner or later, you're going to come back home. You're going to come back to ultimately what makes you feel good. And I guess the last point I want to make is the getting back, is the coming back home. I did warn you that this was going to be a bit of a rambly chat, and I have to give credit here. I very much borrow rambly chat from my favorite podcaster, Adam Buxton. And I forgot to mention in the intro, how could I have forgotten to mention that? I had the most wonderful, wonderful weekend last weekend when I went to Canterbury with my sister to see Adam Buxton. If you haven't listened to his podcast, you really should. It is my absolute favorite. He is just wonderful. My sister and I both love him. And it was sheer delight to see him on stage there in person. We were both fangirling our hearts out. It was a big thanks to my friend Kelly, who gave me the tickets. And we really, really did enjoy ourselves. Canterbury is a lovely city. We very much enjoyed wandering around. Esther, my sister, found a wonderful pulled pork place where we had something to eat before we made our way to the theatre and enjoyed watching Adam. So anyway, little aside there, it was a lovely, lovely weekend, and I can't believe I forgot to tell you about it earlier. But Adam talks about ramble chats, and I'm definitely a bit of a rambler when it comes to talking, so I just like to mention when I borrow from other people, and that's definitely a borrow from Adam. But back to it, back to the last point is coming back home, getting back on track, whatever you would like to call it. What happens when you've made a choice that is not a keto choice? What happens next? So you've made your choice, you've owned it. Hopefully you've been mindful about it and really thought about what's going on as you're eating it so that you can take something from this experience that's helpful and is going to benefit you in the future. But what happens next? Because there are going to be consequences, most likely, from that, whatever it is. Maybe it's just one thing you have. Maybe it's a meal that has multiple things in it. Maybe it's a day. Maybe it's a weekend. Whatever it is, you've made that choice. And hopefully you've got some enjoyment from it as well. Because, like I said before, what's the point otherwise? Life is meant to be enjoyed, even when we don't make the best decisions. But it's another thing to be mindful of. What happens the next day? Do you wake up perhaps not feeling too good? Maybe your joints are aching a bit. There's some inflammation going on. Maybe you've got a headache, feel a bit bloated, have an overwhelming craving maybe to eat more of what it was you made the choice to eat yesterday. Or maybe it just leads you to wanting to eat all the things, all the carby things that you feel that you've restricted yourself from, you've held back for all this time, and you get into that all or nothing mode. Well, I've done it now. I might as well just have all the things. Open the floodgates. Bring it on. I've messed up. I might as well just carry on messing up and have all the things. In for a penny, in for a pound. What other cliches can I think of? You get my point. I've certainly been there multiple times. The chances are good you have too. And this, I guess, is my big worry, especially for my American friends. My Canadian friends, if it starts at Canadian Thanksgiving, well, that was even earlier. My worry is if that one choice then leads to this cascade that is going to carry on until the new year. You know, you're talking 2 or 3 months. You can do a lot of damage in 2 or 3 months. I know. At some point, I'll have to look up the statistics. But I gained a huge amount of weight in, I can't remember, I think it was 3, 6 months. I mean, it was tens and twenties and goodness knows how many kilos. I literally ballooned in such a short period of time. So I know firsthand, the damage that can be done, the consequences of those decisions, potentially. So I am not sitting here in judgment. I'm sitting here rambling on about this because I care about you. Whether you've just started listening, whether you've been with me from the get-go, and you've been listening to me ramble on for years, I care about you. It's why I do this. Because I want to help. I want you to have less of a struggle than I've had. I want you to, as much as you can, jump straight to the wins that I've had, because I've had lots of those too. I want, as much as it is possible, for you to miss out the messy, murky, nasty stuff that's in the middle. So the really big thing to think about and to try and do is just come back home quickly. Make your choice, own it, take responsibility for it, be mindful about what's going on so that you can learn something from it, but then come straight back home. And that might happen quite a few times. Maybe that's going to happen tomorrow for Halloween. Maybe it's going to happen again for Thanksgiving. Maybe it's going to happen again for the Christmas party. Maybe it's going to happen again on Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. You know, maybe that's half a dozen days. It's not ideal. The ideal is to whittle those down to as few times if possible, maybe none at all. Maybe you're going to be super strong and determined this year and really harness all that dopamine that's trickling out as you strive towards the goal of getting through the holiday season without succumbing. Maybe that's you. Fabulous if it is. Well done. Congratulations in advance. And I'm really happy for you. There's no reason to think it couldn't be. This could be the year that happens. But if it isn't, just try and limit the impact. Suck up the consequences and come straight back home. Don't hang out there for another few days, another week. Come straight back home. Don't think, well, I'm out now. I've messed up. I might as well stay out until the new year. And then I'll make a really big thing about coming back home. All guns blazing. Really going to do it right this time. Just come straight back home. You're always welcome. That's the trick, is not letting that decision keep a hold of you and keep you away from what serves you best. I'm already struggling with the idea of mince pies. If you're a Brit, you will know exactly what I mean. If you're not, mince pies, you'll be thinking, what are mince pies? Mince pies are my favorite Christmas treat. The best thing you can do if you don't know what they are probably is Google them. They're a combination of dried fruit and spices held together in shortcrust pastry. And they're very delicious. And they're just not something that I've ever managed to keto-fy. I just don't think it's possible. You can come somewhere close, I guess, to the kind of flavor of the contents with the spices, but you really can't do it. So it's best just not to have them at all. And I haven't been able to get them. You can't get them really outside the UK. So they weren't something I could buy in France. But of course, I'm back here now. I'm back in the UK and already mince pies are on the shelves. And when I see them, all the neurons in my brain are starting to have happy little dances. And I have little voices in my mind that start whispering. And I haven't made the decision yet. I will quite possibly, at one point, buy a pack of mince pies and sit down and be mindful all the things I've been talking to you about and see what happens. I'm already pretty sure that they're not going to be as good as I'm anticipating them to be. I know they're going to be too sweet. I know they're going to be a letdown. So hopefully my decision will be not to bother. And then actually past a certain point, I won't be able to get them again until this time next year. So it will be taken out of my hands. I haven't decided what to do about it yet. So please don't think that I'm sitting here on my high horse telling you what to do, being judgmental in any way, because I'm not. I'm right down in the murky grey areas with the rest of you, struggling with these decisions all the time. We can only do the best we can do. I just urge you to be mindful, to approach it all with curiosity, without judgment. Try and make the best decisions you can in the moment. But if you stray too far from home, just come back again as quickly as you can. And as much as you're mindful in those moments when you make the decision to eat these problematic foods, be mindful in the moments when you're back home eating your keto foods. be mindful about how delicious those bacon and eggs are and how good they make you feel. Reinforce the decisions you make with these memories that you hold on to, because they really will help you when you're faced with them again. So that's it, really. I'm looking at the time on the clock and I've been rambling now for well over an hour. I'm sure that that's going to get cut down somewhat when I do the editing. I'm a shocker, actually. I need lots of editing. You might have heard me talk about getting really nervous if I have to go on anybody else's podcast, because I rely very heavily on being able to edit myself later. So most of all, I really hope that if Halloween is something that you celebrate, that you have a lot of fun tomorrow, or will have had fun whenever you're listening to this, you know what I mean. Enjoy it and enjoy the rest of the holiday season that's to come. I guess I always ask my guests for a top tip, and as there's no guest, I'll have to come up with my own top tip. When it comes to holiday food, make your choice, own it, and move on having learned something from the experience. Don't let yourself get dragged down by guilt and shame. There is no shame in making a choice. Make it and move on and come back home as quickly as you can to your keto. There you have it. Hope you've enjoyed me rambling on. More than that, I hope there's been something in there that you found helpful. Thank you for staying with me right to the end. I feel a bit weird when it was me at the beginning, me in the middle, now me at the end. But, you know, I have my format to maintain. I hope there was something in there that you found helpful. And I really do hope that you're looking forward to the rest of a lovely weekend and that you have a very happy Halloween. I will leave you with an end quote. And this week, our end quote is from James Clear. Your time is better spent championing good ideas than tearing down bad ones. The best thing that can happen to a bad idea is that it is forgotten. The best thing that can happen to a good idea is that it is shared. Feed the good ideas and let bad ideas die of starvation. Until next time, please take very good care. Have a very happy Halloween, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.